I'm Alan Smale, and I write alternate history, historical fantasy, and hard science fiction. Most recently, and very exciting for me personally, I have Hot Moon, which is my alternate Apollo techno-thriller with heart, and that's set entirely on and around the moon.
This is a continuing episode of a series with Alan Smale. The series started at episode 319. Go to the show archive to catch up. Tell us about the Apollo Rising books.
Like I said, I always knew that I wanted to write an Apollo book. It was always in the back of my mind. I always knew I wanted to delve a little more deeply into like the nuts and bolts of the space program. I knew all about the human stories because that's what you read. That's what you know about. That's where most of the books, where most of the books that I have were aimed. But I was also interested in the technological side, having a science background. And I really wanted to know a little more about the technology, just how humans really did get to the moon, how the technology that took them there and what things worked well and what things didn't work well. So I really like diving deep into that. So all of that had to simmer in my mind for a while before I knew what I wanted the book to be. I always knew I wanted it to be technically accurate and that I was really going to get into that. And all the mechanics was going to be correct, because if it wasn't, the people I work with would mock me and all of that. So I knew what kind of a book it was going to be. And it took me a while to figure out what the plot and the characters were. So the Apollo Rising series is set in the early 1980s. And we're in a timeline where the space race has continued and the United States and the Soviets each have a base on the moon and space stations in orbit. So it's this old 1980s clunky technology. And Hot Moon is the first book in the series. These are published by Kazik Science Fiction and Fantasy, which is part of the Ark Manor Publishing House. And the first book came out in July of 2022. And the second book is just about to come out. We'll come to that. But at the beginning of Hot Moon, we meet Vivian Carter. And she's the commander of Apollo 32. She's the first woman commander of an Apollo mission, although other women have been in space, although there have been other women on the moon. So she's in charge of an expeditionary Apollo, and Apollo 32 is supposed to spend 10 days on the moon at the Marius Hills, which is an ancient volcanic dome area. It's kind of on the far left-hand side of the moon as we see it from North America. And like I say, she's not the first woman on the moon. Terry Brock, who's currently at Hadley Base, was the first woman on the moon, and we get to meet her later on. And on the way to the moon, Apollo 32 makes the delivery of a cargo pod to Columbia Station, a Skylab in lunar orbit. And while they're there, for reasons revealed much later, the station comes under attack by four Soviet spacecraft. And so Vivian very reluctantly becomes part of the world's first space battle using really clunky Apollo and Soyuz technology. So in a way, it's actually a very slow conflict because things move slowly. You can't move faster when you're doing that kind of thing. And so the upshot of that is that Vivian and her lunar module pilot ends up having to deviate to Hadley Base on the moon's surface. And Hadley Base is where the Apollo 15 landing happened in our timeline. There are now 18 Apollo astronauts in two habitats there, and there's obviously a bunch of lunar modules and cargo modules lying around on the lunar surface. Hadley Base is going to come under ground attack. They realize this. They realize the Soviets are going to be coming for them. And the Soviets are obviously armed. But Hadley Base is a NASA base. It's not armed. So one of the fun parts of this is seeing how a bunch of smart, geeky astronauts MacGyver their equipment into makeshift weapons to try and protect themselves from the attack that they know is coming their way. And matters continue from there.
Wow, okay.
Lots of action and intrigue both on and off the lunar surface.
That was just book one, is that right?
That was just, yes, that's the first part of book one, in fact. Okay. So I wouldn't want to go a lot further because obviously I wouldn't want to reveal too much, but that's where the story really gets going in the first third of the book, I suppose.
Okay. And where would you shelve this book? Is it in the science fiction section? Is it maybe in the thriller or science fiction thriller section? Where would
When I was writing it, I was certainly thinking of it as my techno-thriller with heart. And I know that a lot of alternate history books are now shelved with the mainstream books. There are a lot of mainstream writers who write alternate history. All the boundaries are blurring. So I wouldn't be surprised to see it in the literary or mainstream section, but it's usually shelved in under science fiction.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Was it difficult to take your love of technology and connect it with people to tell the right story?
Not really. I think a lot of that just happened organically. I knew the technology. The technology is a big part of the story, but obviously the humans are an even bigger part. The characters are the bigger part. It's the characters you're following, not the machinery. And so the machinery all of the tech is the backdrop to what's going on in the story. And so the scientists are the astronauts, actually only some of them have a science background. They're obviously very hardcore technology type people, and they're smart people, and they're all working together in a very interesting way. They don't all know each other all that well, but they're working together to make the best of a bad situation. And so really it's what the characters do with the technology and how things end up developing between the characters and between the US and the Soviet characters which make the book. And I do have a lot of Soviet characters, too. There are scenes from the Soviet characters' point of view. This isn't just an us versus them thing. There are sympathetic Soviet characters. And actually, one of the fun parts of the audiobook is hearing my audiobook narrator do the Soviet characters, because she actually has a very good Russian accent, a very good Ukrainian accent. She's a very good voice actress. And so she brings all of these parts to life in a very interesting way. So, yes, U.S. characters and Soviet characters interacting. And it's not all battles, it's not all wars and that kind of thing. There are a lot of other types of karma. There are karma scenes as well, and more introspective and thoughtful scenery. So it's not just battles all over the place.
Yeah, nice. Nice. That sounds really, really compelling. Well, now let's talk about book two, Radiant Sky. What's going on in there?
Radiant Sky, yes. And now in book two, it's several years later. It's no surprise, I suppose, that Vivian Carter has survived. She is the protagonist of the next book as well. It is now several years later. So we're in the mid-1980s, and Vivian is back on the moon. She's been on the Earth, back on the Earth for a while. She's been kind of depressed there because she loves space, and it's always been her ambition to go to space. She started her life as a naval aviator, actually, so she has a military background rather than the science background. She's flown jets. She's been through the Apollo training. She's now an Apollo astronaut. And now she's on her next mission, which is a much more... The technology has improved over the years, and now we're able to do much larger excursions across the lunar surface. And so she's now actually commanding the Lunar Geological Survey, which is a team of six people who are traveling around the moon from pole to pole, taking samples, taking regolith samples, soil samples, core samples, doing various other scientific things and doing kind of a survey of the moon. And they're actually going from pole to pole. They're starting in the middle, like in the middle of the near side, as we look at it. And so they're going up to the North Pole and down from north to south on the far side of the moon to a far side base there, and then completing their journey through the South Pole and all the way back around. So they're actually orbiting the moon at ground level, if you like. And so we have this lunar truck, the mobile laboratory, and there's a lunar rover and a lunar bike, like a real like dirt bike, if you like, that they have with them. And these are the vehicles that they're taking on this convoy, if you like, this scientific mission, this geological survey of the moon. So that's where the book starts. But since Vivian is something of a trouble magnet, you can tell that the things are going to turn hot again. The Lunar Geological Survey is actually a collaboration between the U.S., and the Soviets, between NASA and Soviet scientists. So at the end of the last book, some of the hot war stuff has been resolved. And so there are some lunar collaborations now. Some of the bases on the moon are actually collaborative bases. There are more of them now. And so it is, makes it all the more surprising when, true to form, Vivian comes under attack again by a surprise antagonist, and it takes a while to figure out who these people are, what they're doing on the moon, and that forms all of this leads into the main action and intrigue of book two in the Apollo Rising series. So there we are.
Nice. Yeah, I'm picturing in my head, so as somebody who's like thinking about the book titles, The hot moon was very descriptive of what you described to me. Radiant sky implies something really bad happening. Maybe that comes back to Earth, or maybe it's on the moon. I don't know, but that's, you may not, if you care to share more, go ahead. If it's a spoiler, you can save it. I'll leave your secrets to you.
I will say that these books all take place on and around the moon, and some of the other book three, which I'm currently writing, actually takes place in neither on or around the moon, but not on Earth, if you see what I mean. So I don't want to give too much away about the third book to readers who haven't read the first one yet, but we do end up going further into the inner solar system, let's just put it that way. So they're really, that we know, we tend to find out what's happening on Earth. There's a lot of military activity that's happening on the Earth as part of when the Cold War starts to get a little warmer and hotter. But the main, our main focus in the books is what's happening off the surface of the Earth. So there really are no scenes set on the Earth, although we are very aware of the political situation down there, the military situation down there. And people who are around at that time or who have studied the period will remember that there were quite a few, there was quite a lot going on Earth around about that time. With, there were times when the Cold War on Earth could legitimately have gone off the rails at that point. There was the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, which does feature in the background of Book One. There were other things that happened in the early 1980s, which were very concerning, and some things we only know about now, some things we're only finding out the full details about now, because a lot of this stuff was kept under wraps at the time during the Reagan administration and so on. But there were particularly in 1982, there were a lot of times when things could have gone really badly. And when the Soviets were concerned that the Americans were legitimately concerned that the Americans might actually have a first strike nuclear attack on them, they thought they had reason to believe that. And actually looked at from that perspective, it wasn't actually a stupid conclusion for them to come to. I think they were right to be legitimately concerned, just as the US was right to be legitimately concerned about what was going on in the Soviet Union. So yes, we do find out what's going on Earth, but there are no first-hand scenes set on the Earth in any of the books.
Yeah, cool. Well, that's Earth is the backdrop to the moon story, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Sci-fi Thoughts wants to expand. We want to grow from not just your podcast player, but to spread to your coworkers, your family, and your friends.
But I haven't got any friends.
Why, you little... 1, 2, 3... Oh, no, you don't. We know you've got friends who are into the science, who are into science fiction. These are the people who are playing Halo and Stellaris and other space games instead of watching college football. There are the ones in the NASA t-shirts who are busy inventing something with their 3D printers. Email them a link to this podcast. Send them a social media request. Heck, even speak to them and tell them that you've enjoyed the show. The main point is to impress upon them how much you enjoy Sci-Fi Thoughts. Tell them to go to the URL scifithoughts.space. Don't keep Sci-Fi Thoughts secret, because keeping secrets from science fiction fans just isn't nice. If you're listening to this show in a podcast player, you will find show notes that zip right into your device. If you don't have a podcast player and you want to see the show notes, go back to where you downloaded the MP3. This is a continuing episode. The series started at episode 319. So if you want to catch up on some episodes you missed, go to the scifithoughts.space. And you will find a search box, and you can type in whatever episode number you wish, and it will find it for you. Next episode, more Alan Smale.
On the front cover, Vivian is climbing into her lunar module up the steps of the Apollo 32 lunar module, and you can see the base around her. In the background, there are two tall things, which are the habitats that the NASA astronauts are living in. And the cover also shows what is obviously some Soviet people who are after Vivian. And there's a lunar card vehicle on the right hand side of the cover, which is the Soviet equivalent of a lunar rover. So that's a four or six wheeled vehicle. And there are also some Soviet lunar dirt bikes there. So
cool.
It's kind of fun. Just imagine a motorbike on the moon.